So I think I'll just start. For everybody not out for a pretty technical talk, now is your chance to leave. For everybody who is interested in one aspect of our performance work, feel free to stay here. Andreas is not out for performance. I would like to talk about File Change Notify, which is surprisingly an aspect of file server performance, which really bites you when it goes bad. It's entirely not about anything in the read-write path. It's entirely not about anything in whatever RDMA or something, but it is relevant. What? Okay, aber es ist 4 Uhr.
I just wanted to say we will now hear Volker Lendecke, but you already know that, and everybody from over there had a chance to come over, so enjoy Volker's talk.
Yeah. So, File Change Notify, I will give you a quick introduction to that, what it is, and the history of the implementations. And we, in the past, have had problems with this. We have fixed many of those. We are still not where we want to be. In particular, one aspect is we want scalable file change notify to work well in a cluster, and we want it to work well in cooperating with others like Ganesha. And we want to provide a simple interface for Ganesha to also submit events to us. So, Zenit, the usual advertising task. You should by now know where we are and who we are and so on, doing a lot of, hey, we are doing the Samba XP every year. So what is File Change Notify? If I look in Microsoft Developer Network on obtaining directory change notifications, it says, an application can monitor the contents of a directory and its subdirectories by using change notifies, change notifications. So what is it? Essentially what you see as a user, you open an Explorer window to a directory, and somebody else somewhere on the network drops a file in there, and your Explorer window automatically updates its view. This file shows up automatically that somebody else dropped. So there are several ways that could potentially be used to implement this. One is, yeah, frequent polling. The Explorer could just look every second, has something changed? In large directories, you can imagine this will put some significant load on the server. So this is not how it works. What the client does is the client opens a directory, asks the server for changes, and it can send filters. So it can say, as I wrote here, I'm only interested in new and deleted files, in renamed files. I'm interested in events when somebody changes an ACL, if the write timestamp changes and so on. There's a whole like 10 or 15 flags or something where the client can say, please tell me in this subdirectory, whenever somebody does something, inform me so that I can either look myself or in the answer to that asynchronous request, please tell me what exactly changed, which file name was created. And there's one very, very, very nasty aspect to this. That's the bwatch subtree parameter to that API. And that's recursive. So you have this huge directory with like 10 million files or a billion files in a hierarchy 100 levels deep. And the client can ask for any changes in this directory and every subdirectory that this branches of. Tom, who invented this?
No clue, but we hate it
too. So this is recursive, and this can really make the client drink from a fire hose. There might be so many changes and whatever, so yeah.
And it gets used in a lot by web servers.
Yeah, IIS. Yeah. This is really bad for scalability in particular. So, When trying to implement this, the first thing you could do is look at MSFSA, what Microsoft documents here. I'm not sure that this is actually what they are doing. So when you look at 2.1.1.1, there is an attribute per volume, which from my point of view is kind of a file system share whatever. I think it's per file system here. There you have a change notify list. A list of zero or more change notify entries describing outstanding change notify requests for the volume. This, according to the spec, is kind of an array or a dynamic linked list or whatever, where every of these changes or every of the requests for being informed about the change is listed. Okay, then look to the next algorithm. Algorithm for reporting a change notification for a directory. This is, I think I counted 12 times in MSFSA. So there's a lot of hooks in, for example, creating a file, removing a file, creating a subdirectory and so on, where this algorithm 2.1.4.1 is called. And Microsoft then says, for each change notify entry in this list, do whatever, do the filtering thing and send out change notifies. What this means is, if imagine this change notify list. I mean, when I've learned one thing in the last 10 years of programming, don't enumerate anything. Don't ever enumerate, because there might be many of these things that you enumerate, like thousands and thousands and thousands. So what the FSA says from a spec perspective, from a high level view, for every change, for every new file, we potentially have to enumerate 10,000 entries or 100,000 entries of some list. And this will slow down things considerably. So for every metadata operation, the spec makes us walk a large array. Yeah, 10,000 clients with 10 notifies each, you're screwed.
To be fair, the spec is specifying an abstract.
Yes, definition. Yes. And I'm showing how we try to get around to improve the situation here.
The spec requires us to walk a large array well.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, that may be the way it's expressed.
Yeah.
Formally, abstract. But in the implementation, we'll almost definitely.
Okay.
In fact, the instructions I was given when I was writing was to avoid anything that specified any form of implementation.
You don't want to drill down, because by drilling down, you require what you drill down to.
Right.
You want to stay as high level as possible to achieve
and give an abstract explanation of what.
I recently learned about the TLI language of specification.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds a bit like that.
Yeah.
Okay. How does it look on the wire? Client opens the directory, gets a handle. Then the client sends a change notify request with this handle inside, the completion filter, and so on. And from this, when the client first sends this change notify request, we have to create this change notify entry in the change notify list for the volume, at least from a spec perspective. So now when changes happen, we reply to that. And at this point, so you have to really look at the implementation. Client sends us a request. This is pending on the server side. Then we reply to the request when a change happened. And we expect, and this usually happens, the client then very quickly comes back with a new change notify request. And in the meantime, we have to queue the events that have happened. So we reply, and this change notify entry still is in place and collects entries. And what happens now if the client comes back an hour later, hasn't deleted this change notify entry? There might have been tons and tons of entries in this change notify, whatever, pending. So we have a way to tell the client not exactly what has changed. Usually what we do is, okay, somebody has created file foo, and this is part of the response to the change notify request. But when the client comes back too late, we queue up like hundreds and thousands of new entries. We just tell the client, hey, something changed. Figure out yourself what changed. There's this, what's the error message? Enumdir, status enumdir. Yeah? That's, I mean, yeah, right. This is another aspect of where we have to tune, where we have to whatever, cache things. But this is not, we want to get this basic. Yes, if we tell 10,000 clients something has changed, we will get a huge amount of individual SMB2 find requests.
And I suspect that Windows caches that and serves the same response rather than generate a new response.
Possible. Possible. So, we have three implementations and a fourth one that I'm going to describe here. The first one was extremely basic. So it seems that we require at least two or three rounds to get something right. I did look up the 2.0 OPLOC implementation. Anybody remember the UDP socket on loopback here? And the whatever, recursive, trans2, something, we wait for a close, awful. So we rewrote that several times, and it's the same with FileChange Notify. So I have more slides on these in later slides. So Samba 3.0, we had first support for it. So anybody still using Samba 3.0 should really get to something newer, because FileChange Notify is just utterly broken. Then within his NTVFS Samba 4 effort, Tridge, I mean, this was well before the documentation was published. Tridge figured out the very strange behavior of the change notify. And I mean, if you look at that from the on the wire, having these asynchronous requests and you have to first, just from looking at the packets on the wire, figure out that the initial file change notify file requests creates something on the server that persists across subsequent file change notify requests. That is Tridge's achievement as part of this Samba 4 implementation that we didn't have before, that we just didn't know about before, and before we had the documentation. So he figured that out, and we have message-based notification. Yeah, talk about that a bit in a bit. And Samba 4.0, now uses a more scalable version of this. It's not where we want to go, but essentially what we have changed between Tridge's Samba 4 implementation and the Samba 4.0 notify IndexedDB implementation is it's basically it's the same with split out data structures. So we just have a different design of data structures on the wire on the cluster. It improves things a lot, but it's not where we want to be. So what does Samba 3.0 do? You get a file change notify. Samba 3.0 hashes the current contents of a subdirectory, stores this hash somewhere, and then periodically, I haven't really looked up the timeout, but frequently it just rescans the directory. And if the hash changes, we just reply with enumdir, figure out yourself what changed. Extremely basic, no global status. I mean, yeah, high load due to polling every SMBD, polling in every SMBD. We have to list directories. It is definitely not recursive. Updates do lag. Yeah, so we have to wait for, they are not really concurrent, the updates, but the Explorer window, when you drop a file there, will show new files. Hey, this is what we wanted to achieve. At that point, we were so happy to get this result. We were not really interested in correctness and all aspects of the protocol. Okay. So this was ported to Samba 3.2, Tridge's effort that we had, that he did in the NTVFS Samba 4 effort. He essentially figured out that yes, there must be some global state in Windows across these change notify requests. And so he implemented essentially that. He implemented what we call notify array, what Windows specification calls change notify list. And we have another thing that supported Trigin that made it easier to do what he did. So before this NTVFS Samba 4 Active Directory effort, every RPC, remote procedure call, DCRPC, was hand marshaled. So really marshaling complex data structures to a blob, to something on the wire, to whatever, into a network packet, was awkward at best. And what Trich could do with Piddle, our Perl-based IDL compiler, I'm surprised it's not called Tiddle. Well, Perl-based IDL compiler, it was easy to just write out a data structure somewhere in a file and have marshaling, unmarshaling be done automatically. So in Trich implement the change notify list, not as a simple array, but as a pretty efficient data structure. And yeah, the comment in the code says this function is called not a lot. It needs to be very fast. It's a bit unusual data structure, but it works surprisingly well. And probably we are going to get back to this with the implementation I'm going to present here. So how is it implemented? Trich implemented a notify.tdb, which essentially stores this change notify list in the incarnation of this slightly unusual data structure in one huge data blob. So notify.tdb, if you still have it on Samba 3.0, only contains one record, one single record, ever. And yeah, what happens now is every SMBD owns a copy of this in RAM, unmarshaled, so that we can work on this very quickly. And whenever a change happens, all SMBDs reload this thing. And this is also when TDB gained this so-called TDB sequence number trick. What is it? So we have 1,000 SMBDs essentially monitoring one TDB record. That's what they do. And we can't really do a full whatever compare with TDB read and so on, which is expensive, which requires logs and so on. And what Trich did is he carved out one field in the TDB header, called it sequence number. And whenever somebody writes into this central database, this is incremented. And what we can now do is just read this 4 byte, I think it's 4 bytes, right? We just read these four bytes without any locking. And we're not really interested in absolute precision of this. We are just interested in change. And yeah, conventional wisdom says you don't have to do locking for this. We have enough memory barriers and so on anyway. This just works, and it works surprisingly well. But apparently, yeah, this does not really scale to thousands of SMBDs and notifies, because this data structure just grows. And if you make a copy into 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 SMBDs, yep, you've got a problem. And the reason why we had to fix this is we initially put this into a cluster database. And I mean, it's one thing if you have it in shared memory somewhere, local on your box, and load this into 10,000 SMBDs simultaneously because somebody has changed it. It's a completely different thing if you want to do that in a cluster. And CTDB is good, but it's not broadcasting 10 megabytes every 100 milliseconds or every milliseconds. This is not what CTDB or this is, you don't really have any cluster infrastructure to do this. So.
So it's pushed on every change. One SMBD modifies it, pushes it to all the others.
No. The way it works, the question was whether it is push. It works differently. Every SMBD that has a local copy also has in RAM attached to that local copy the sequence number that it had when it read it. And on every read access to this notify array in RAM, we just read these 4 bytes from the TDB. I mean, that's certainly read cache sensitive on the local CPU, but on every read access, we check whether there's something new.
The sequence number update is pushed.
The sequence number update is not really pushed. the writer just increments that thing and depends on the others to read it on every read access. That's how we do it. But I mean, it's still bad. So, what did we do with Samba 4.0? Samba 3.2 to C.3.6 has one big TDB record, as I just described. We got these disadvantages. And what we want to do is, what we needed to do essentially, is reduce the write load on that central notify database. Because every write will requires a log, requires pushing CTDB around, get this large record now to me and to me and to me. We still have hot record problems in CTDB, but this is really the incarnation of one hot record. So, to understand the implementation, what do we have to do on change notify events? An event says, okay, this file has been created. This file is a complete path with like 10 components, possibly, or 100 components. I don't know if there's a limit, but it's a few components, slash var, slash data, slash foo, slash var, slash something, and I created file, whatever, test.txt. And because of the recursive nature of these change notifies, it might happen that somewhere above in the path, somebody has asked for, get me all notifies for slash data, recursively. And so what we have to do, and this is also reflected in this notify array structure, we have to split up the path that comes with the notify event. We have created this file 10 levels deep. We look at the first component, slash, slash data foo, slash data var, slash data foo, slash var, and so on. So we split out at the slashes, and we look in the central notify array if there's something interesting, if somebody has put a notify on this thing. And so the first step is that we make this notify.tdb just many records, one per path. So, indexed by path. So a change notify entry comes in, there's a path attached. We just put an entry, yes, we are interested in this filter for this path component. And when then the change notify event comes along, we will find this and notify that guy. So, notify.tdb now has many, many records, one for each of these change notify entries, or rather for one of these, one for each of the directories where one or more clients have asked for changes. So you have a path slash data, and 10 people have asked for changes. You will find a record in the TDB slash data and 10 entries in the data there. You can walk that and tell these 10 people, hey, I've created slash data slash foo. Okay. A change notify event walks the path looking for recursive entries. The problem here is we typically have a lot of write contention on just a few directories. I mean, share roots are very popular for Explorer windows to be displayed in. And many people will just, whatever, open and close share routes and walk directories and so on. So, the write load on individual of the on some of these TDB records is still extremely high. A lot of changes going on there. Also, if every SMBD, so we have a cluster with 10,000 clients, split across 5 nodes. Every client, every node has 2,000 clients. And now somebody creates slash data slash foo on node 1. And all of these other 8,000 clients on other nodes have posted a change notify entry here. This poor SMBD which has created slash data slash foo will then have to contact all of the other 8,000s, which is not very efficient. If one SMBD contacts all the others, on the other nodes. This is what I mean with high end-to-end messaging across loads. If the one who actually created the entry, created the new file, has to individually go through the whole list and send messages out multiple times, the same entry to one node 1,000 times, just with a different destination ID. So how do we fix this? We now have split up this notify.tdb. So notify.tdb is essentially the change notify entry list. One record per path, per directory, with potentially many of these entries showing interest in a directory. So we have split that up into two. One is a local notify.tdb, where the real truth is being put down. All entries which are SMBDs, which are interested in changes for slash data, put it into a slash data record into local notify.tdb. And then we have this global cluster-wide notify index.tdb, where the following happens. Node 0 just puts one entry, one node number 0, into the equivalent record in the notify index.tdb. And I mean, you can imagine, I mean, if you look at the implementation, it's a bit complicated. But we now only have to look at the notify index.tdb, and we can see whether, okay, we scan the notify index.tdb, and we see which of the nodes have entries in their local notify.tdb, and we just send the message once to a proxy on the remote node that will then look into its local notify.tdb and broadcast this, or multicast this, or whatever. Okay. What we also do is we want to reduce write load on the notify index.tdb records. One way to do this is, okay, we have seen clients creating and deleting these notify entries like mad. Create, delete, whatever, broken application. And if we just put this into the notify index, like if we always correctly mirror our local notify.tdb state in the notify index.tdb, this would again create very high write load on that corresponding entry in the global database. Not good for CTDB. And how we do is, how we fix this is, we just defer the deletion of the central entry. So a central entry is always, I as a node, node 0 is interested in something on this subdirectory. And if somebody quits asking for this, this can still remain in the global notify index.tdb. All I get is positive, false positives. I can filter them out locally. But what I get from this is, I don't have to constantly write into this global database. Okay, next bottleneck. Performance tuning is always about finding the next bottleneck. So we fixed thousands of clients, adding, removing notify entries. This really works well now. Now we have the next bottleneck. We have to go through the whole path, /data /data /foo /data /foo/var, and so on, for every single 10-level deep file creation. What we now have is everybody, for every file creation, needs to read the entry slash in notify index.tdb. Amitai laughs. Now you know why we have high hop count on notify index.tdb in the log files. Because everybody reads this record, which typically is empty. Because nobody really has notifies for slash in the root file system. The first, it can happen, and we need to be correct here. I mean, we could filter that out. But the next thing that will kill us then is the entry we have to share root. So there is always one entry to the, or whatever, whatever, slash data. Slash data, we have to put in there. And we will really, really read-only beat that record, which most of the time will be empty. Okay, so this is where we are now. So what we need to do is either fix this read-only copies in CTDB for non-existing records. Samba could put something in there, but then comes the question, when do we delete this entry? And so on. All kinds of nasty stuff. So, next generation, this function is called a lot. Which is called a lot? Let's go back some slides. Essentially it's this here. This is called a lot. So we have to make this fast. 12 times in MSFSA, we call this algorithm, and for every new file, we call this algorithm. So this for each that I bold-faced here needs to be fast. Here we are. Okay, the implementation for us right now is notify trigger. That's where we walk all this. This is our for each change notify list. Right now, because we have split up this notify list into path level records, it is O to the order of N in the number of path components. So if you are 20 path components deep, it is whatever, a factor 2 slower than if you go 10 path components deep. Because we have to look at every single path component. And the way it's implemented now, this is done by the SMBD, which created the file. And I mean, if we learn something, latency is paramount here. File creation must be cheap. When you drop the Linux kernel onto a Samba share, this needs to be fast. Thousands of files created. And if we can avoid this O to the order of N in the path components, good, better. Okay. We look into a local TDB. I mean, TDB, in particular with mutexes, is extremely fast, but it does cost. So eventually it will show up. So, how do we solve this? Delegate this notify trigger to some other process. And if you have watched Samba check-ins lately, I have put a lot of effort into making our internal Samba messaging as fast as possible. So until a few days ago, I don't know when it went in, it's less than 2 weeks ago, our internal messaging was pretty heavyweight. So it was yet another TDB. Christoph knows only too well. It is a TDB, and we notify other processes with a signal and so on. And now we have a Unix domain datagram-based messaging, which I think is really, really fast. I wrote some benchmarks. And so I did some tests where I have a ping responder and a client just doing pings. The round trip time is not so much better. It's like whatever, 50% better or so. But what dramatically dropped, I mean really, really significantly, is user space CPU. That dropped to like whatever, 5% of what it used to be before. So this function is called a lot. It needs to be fast. So now when we say, okay, file change notify is asynchronous anyway, and the idea now is, let's just delegate all the hard work to somebody else. Okay, how do we do this? What we now will do is, and I have some kind of implementation for this, we keep this change notify list in one daemon, which I called notifyD. And whenever an SMBD shows interest in changes to a directory, it just fires off a message to this notifyD. And the way our messaging, at least locally, is structured, it is reliable. So all rumors that you heard or whatever, everything, our wisdom says Unix domain datagram messaging is reliable, or the sender gets an error message. So we don't really have to do request response here. We can just fire off, okay, I'm interested in this subdirectory with that filter, or please discard me here. So somebody will send to this notify daemon just the change that it wishes the notify daemon to do with the notify entries array, notify list. So now SMBD creates a file. It just marshals one little message saying, okay, I created this file. Fire off to the notify daemon. And this notify ID will then walk its list, and whatever it can be do arbitrarily fast, it's just RAM. We put this in, we keep this in RAM, and we can have every smart data structure here. All this recursive filtering is done there. And so this is what I have right now. The part that I don't yet have, which I'm still really thinking about how to do that efficiently, is this notify ID will then distribute its change notify list in a cluster. I have some ideas, I have some prototype for this, but this doesn't really work right yet. The main question here is, and that's one of the major ideas, Metzer, I don't know who really had the original idea with the timestamp in the hash and so on. We had a phone call and we developed this idea. What do we do about delayed messages? So change notify is, okay, I'm interested in all changes to this subdirectory. I fire off a message to notifyD. And this might take a while. I mean, these notify messages are reliable in the sense that eventually, if the notifyD doesn't crash, they arrive. And between two processes, one SMBD, one notifyD, we also maintain ordering of these messages. But nobody says that we maintain ordering between two pairs of processes. So what can happen is SMBD A shows interest in a subdirectory. SMBD B creates something that would trigger this here. And the message that SMBD A shows interest is deferred, is delayed by a second or whatever. In particular, this gets worse in a cluster. What we do here is, on every of these messages, be it change notify, change request in terms of, okay, I'm interested here, and also I created this subdirectory. Every of these messages holds a timestamp. 10 minutes, perfect. Holds a timestamp. This is, I think, my last slide. Yeah. Every of these messages carries a timestamp. And what can happen is, again, somebody shows interest, and right after that, somebody else creates something that would trigger the event message here. And what we do is, for every change that happens, for every notify event, yes, I created a subdirectory, we hash the path. And we have like 1024, whatever, name it, array of timestamps. We hash the path. We get an index into this hash table. And we put down in this hash table the timestamp when something changed last. The last change will be put down in this hash table. When now, later on, somebody comes in and shows interest in changes to that subdirectory, and we have a timestamp when this happened, when that is earlier than the change that came in, according to this hash table, we just tell the client, hey, go figure out what changed yourself. No, if the new change notify entry in this list is earlier than the change that happened. If the change is later, then we have to tell the client. According to this hashing scheme, we don't know what changed. But we always have the free pass notify inum, status inum dir, figure out yourself. And this should be rare, hopefully. We have to do measurements, but this should be sufficiently rare that we only generate false positives at most, and not too many of them. Yes, this is the basic design that I wanted to show in this talk. And one thing that just came to my mind that I should have put on the slide here is this here. Oops, I would have marked this now, the middle bullet here. Notify events are just another type of message. Right now, this type of message is a bit special. It's the Samba, whatever server ID as source, destination, and so on. But it's just another type of message. And what we could do here, what I haven't done yet, we could open up another socket, a Unix domain data grub socket, where we could publish a little whatever library or protocol or whatever, name it, where people like Ganesha could plug in, and for every file they create, rename, delete, change echo, just do one single syscall, namely send message to this socket with a specialized message. Extremely simple. Multi-thread safe, whatever. So this is something, I mean, we have talked a lot about interconnecting with Ganesha. I wouldn't really dare Ganesha to connect to our messaging system and read our ctdb notify index.tdb and then whatever. You don't want to do that. But this scheme now, because we have on every node a notify daemon that listens on just a Unix domain datagram socket, this is something that we can present to every other server, that we can open up a API for that everybody else can use. And this will then solve the interop problem that could be solved by a notify, which unfortunately is not recursive. Okay, that's basically the end of my talk. Current status, I have my prototype here. You can't read this, but you hopefully can read this. SMBD, I have a little subdirectory notifyd here. And the protocol is in a file notify.h, essentially. So, asynchronous messages, just whatever, put out the design here a bit. Here we have the messages. That's a one type of message that we send to the notify daemon. We show interest, 3 minutes. This is bonus material. So, that's the message that we send to the notify daemon on every change of interest in a subdirectory. Notify instance, what is that? Oh, here we are, notify instance. Creation time, the subdirectory filter, and so on. And then the notify trigger, when did we create a file in that path? And we could formalize this and whatever, make a little library about this and yeah, publish this under non-GPL, whatever, proprietary stuff, whatever you like. That's trivial. Okay. That's about it.
And we still have time for a few questions. Any questions?
Matthias. Oh.
So right now there's a VFS module, as you know, for doing polling or using Garmin or so.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff would move into the notify daemon as well, right?
Correct. Okay. The question here is, I mean, we have some interop module that essentially takes the role of iNotify. And I mean, the problem we have with some clustered file system that has been talked about here is GPFS doesn't do iNotify cluster-wide. And so we have to have this module per node, which has iNotify and so on. So there is this Garmin polling interface. This would essentially move into the notify daemon as well, either with a Garmin module there, so that we only have one instance doing the polling, not every SMBD. We would also move the iNotify mechanism into that notify daemon, so that not every SMBD gets the iNotifies. It's just that notify daemon that will then trigger these, whatever, little Unix domain datagram messages. And we could then also go and do the cluster-wide iNotify so that we, in this way, if VSFTPD has no interface into us to create new files and whatever, we get at least non-recursive I notify per node. Other questions?
Thank you very much.